And welcome to the War Room here on KOKC this Monday morning. I am your host, Sean Fry. And hey, Tuesday just ended the other day. Looks like we just got through an election, and it is going to be President-elect Joe Biden, who will be the next leader of the free world. I know this is a sports show, but it is always an historic, momentous occasion when a new president is duly elected by the populace. And it was great to see what I was so happy about was just the record turnout across the country for an election. It was great to see so many people voting, so many people taking pride in voting. You know, social media gets a lot of bad rap, and justifiably so. Facebook has been particularly toxic the last few weeks, but you know, if part of the motivation to go vote is that you can post on Instagram and Twitter and all that, you know, your I voted sticker, you know, I got a sticker and a pen this year, and you know, good for you. And you know, I hope more people continue to seek every opportunity to participate in our democracy. It was just such a I believe this was a very great week for the country to see so many people go out and vote. And I believe if, you know, turnout's always that high, our country will always be in a great place. On a side note, too, anybody who was ever raised Catholic or something Christian, when Joe Biden made his speech on Saturday night and he said the initial lines to, you know, raise you up on eagle's wings, tell me that song has not been stuck in your head for the last 2 days now. Today's guest is going to be Leavitt County head coach Sean Price, head football coach Sean Price. We'll talk a little bit about his season and football and COVID, and what. And he's also the athletic director at Leavitt County High School. So, what some winter sports are going to look like? How there's going to be more? There might be some more restrictions. How schools are continuing to evolve through now? We've got a great conversation coming up for you with Leavitt County head football coach and athletic director Sean Price. For you here on the War Room today. One last thing before we go to a quick break, shout out to the Oswego Indians football team. They had a tough end to their season. Madison beat them 60-0 by halftime in the second round of the playoffs, but Matt Fowler doing just tremendous work over there as the head coach of the Oswego Indians football team. They finished the year 8-2, one of the best years in school history, and Matt Fowler's only going to keep making that program better. Sean Price, Leavitt County High School head football coach and co-athletic director, here on the War Room when we come back from this break. Don't go anywhere. And we are back here on the War Room. I am your host, Sean Fry, here on KOKC, and I am joined by the best of a bad situation and the absolute last option I had, Leavitt County head coach of the football team over for the Grizzlies, as well as co-athletic director Sean Price. How are we doing today?
Well, that was a mouthful, man. That was a mouthful. It was great.
It was. It was a struggle to get out, too. I feel like sometimes I wonder why I have a radio show. Why?
Well, we've all wondered that.
It's good to see you, Price. You know, it was obviously it was a weird football season. It's the last. So this past Friday, I covered the last game. I'm going to cover for the Parsons Sun. Oswego fell to Madison, and they were the last team I had in my coverage area still playing. You know, I tweeted out that, you know, it was just such a weird, challenging, difficult season to cover, given all the challenges the pandemic presented. That made it all the more rewarding as well. And I think we saw that around our region. Just kind of the highs and lows of that. You guys, obviously, you didn't have the season you wanted in the win-loss column, and I think you and I have talked, and it was definitely a very challenging season. But you were the only SEK League school to play 9 games in 9 weeks, and that is an accomplishment in and of itself, considering every other SEK League school, Parsons not counting because they play as independents down in Class 3A. They missed a game somewhere along the road. And looking at, you know, teams around the area, you have some teams doing very well. And then a team like Fredonia, not too far north of here, made the playoffs, won a playoff game, was in a Week 10 game, and had to have their season called off. I'm curious, you've had about a week to digest this season now, Coach Price. I'm curious how you're really looking at it in the grand scheme of things.
You know, you start back in the spring, you know, when we're preparing for everything and, you know, getting ready for our summer and just not knowing.
Which all of that was way different than and challenging than.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing has been wrapped up in the one big ball of yarn, kind of, you know, the stress of it. You know, coaching's tough enough. You know, we got lots of coaches on Friday nights, but, you know, no one usually wants to do it Saturday through Thursday with us. But it's funny because, you know, we're worried about our kids, you know, where they're at, what they're doing, what precautions they're taking in the summer, because you just know, you know, anything could happen and your summer could, you know, get ended. We were fortunate, you know, we've never lost a day. And I think we are the only program in this area. In fact, I know we are, that never shut down the weight room, never had any cases, did anything in the summer when everybody else did, you know, even just for a week when they did it and stuff like that. So, you know, I think for us, I mean, we're pretty blessed. It starts your board of education, your administration. Mm-hmm. Ours did a great job. We had a great plan going forward. Dr. Weirich, you know, Shane Holzman, our principal, Stacy Smith, who's our interim assistant principal, you know, what they put in place has allowed us to have 9 games, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, that wasn't my bet at the beginning of the year. I was thinking, boy, if we get 4, we'll be lucky. 3 or 4, you know, is really what I was thinking, the way things were going. And, you know, but hats off to our kids also. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they were smart and did what they were supposed to do. And even though in the year we lost some kids, I mean.
And that was what I was going to say, is it's not like you went unscathed. The virus found its way in. You had no positive cases on your team, to my understanding.
No.
But some kids got contact traced out of your last 2 weeks, and they were all starters. And
9 of them.
Yeah. And you just sit there and wonder, and I think there's an honest, you know, from a football schematic standpoint, that really hurt your chances against Chanute. And you had a chance to maybe earn a share of a league title. Now, Fort Scott would have had to lose to Coffeyville, and that didn't end up happening. But, you know, you probably lost what you felt like was any sort of real crack at your last 2 games, at least to win at the varsity level. But you still played them. But you had some seniors in that group that –
Well, they were all seniors.
Yeah,
we didn't have a contact. Well, I'm sorry, we had one of a junior, but yeah. You know, but other than that, they were all seniors.
And all of a sudden, their football careers at Labette County High School just whoosh, there it was.
Yeah,
and I know that sounds callous and brutal, but I feel like that's the reality upon us to a degree.
Yeah, you know, it started last spring when you don't know when your last season is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we preach that, and it's true, and it held its course again. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Did you have a senior day at the beginning of the year, or did you do it at the end?
Our first home game, we had senior night.
Yeah. And that's how a lot of schools in this area did it. And I bet you when we get to wrestling and basketball season 2, I'd be surprised if any school doesn't do it that way. I mean, you know, I don't see the value in not having it at this point. And I thought that was an interesting kind of – you know, just change to it. And, you know, just you look at every little thing and stuff like that. I think it was, you know, a smart move to have those senior days moved up to the start of the year.
Yeah, you don't know. Like I said, you know, our first home game was week 3. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're thinking, wow, we hope we get to that.
Yeah.
You know, to do our senior night. So we were fortunate, though. Like I said, you know, our school's done a good job. I mean, you know, I think we've had just – a few positive cases at Labette County High School. So, you know, and that part of it, you know, we've been lucky as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the contact tracing, the way they space kids out, you know, from our first one to now, it's way different. You know, we're losing less kids, are getting sent home to quarantine. So, you know, they're doing the right thing, our administration.
And the skinny of it is that you guys, you know, ever since you had, I think, 1 or 2 cases come in, a lot of kids got contract traced out. So the school said, all right, you guys coordinated with the county health department, and you're spacing out your classrooms even more now. And that is restricting the, you know, extending beyond that 6 feet, I think.
Yeah, you have to, I think, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, you know, they did what they thought they were supposed to do the first time. And we found out, it wasn't quite far enough. So, you know, they moved out a little bit farther. And, you know, it's working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things. It's, you know, it's Mr. Holzman talks about all the time. We feel like the walls are closing in on us, you know,
yeah.
with all these cases. You know, Caney just went online. Obviously, you just talked about Fredonia. They're virtual now. you know, it's popped up around us, and, you know, and we're just still trying to fight the good fight right now. And, you know, I think they've done a great job, our teachers and everybody.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I'm friends with teachers and coaches at every school that I cover, and one of the teachers at Labette County told me a couple weeks ago that it feels like every day you go to school in that role and you're sitting in a paddle boat. And I mean, this is the exact analogy they gave me, was you're sitting in a rowboat and it already has holes in it by the time you show up. And you plug that one and more just pop up and more just keep popping up every day, every day. And then for some reason you're allowed to get off the boat at the end of the day and you say, I come right back to it. I'm curious, does that resonate with you at all?
Well, the biggest thing that resonated, you said you had friends. I mean, that really shocked me for one. That's my first point. The second thing, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I've used that same saying for years. You know, the boat's taking on water and we got our pails out and you look around and three people got their life jackets on already.
Yeah.
And we're still bailing out. So, yeah, it is. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. You're just, you know, before, you know, a kid, I don't feel well, you just suck it up.
You know,
there's no sucking it up now. You can't take that chance.
One thing Matt Fowler, the head coach over at Oswego, said, great head coach, by the way, and I think he's done a fantastic job down there at Oswego in building a very successful 8-man program. And he did the same thing over at Spearville, a couple, you know, won a state title in 2015. One thing he said to me after they lost on Friday, I asked him, you know, hey, they got 10 games in 10 weeks. And I said, or I guess they only played eight. They had two non-COVID-related forfeits, Altoona Midway and Marmon and Valley, just couldn't field teams because, like, one of the reasons that Altoona apparently gave was, like, two kids went to a wedding. So they didn't play a game on Friday night. So
that's interesting.
That's interesting. And so, anyways, a big takeaway, I said, you know, and Oswego didn't have to lose any players to any positive cases. They had one freshman contact traced out for the last 2 weeks. Anyway, I asked him, you know, you got through the season virtually unscathed through COVID, and he goes, you know, I don't feel pride or anything like that. I just feel blessed because there are teams out there that did everything right, and they didn't get to get here. The virus still got in. I think we saw that at Fredonia and in Wilson County. Their county health department and their school board, I think, came up with a plan that they felt was best. And it's probably a little more strict than we see at some schools at – and when I say Labette County, I mean the county of Labette, Parsons and Oswego and Labette County. You guys probably don't have as strict of contract tracing plans or gating criteria. You know, Fredonia had one case pop up and they shut the whole school down. And, you know, everybody's kind of living in – slightly different realities right now. I'm curious, from the perspective of an athletic director, how you deal with that maybe as a league. And I understand, you know, Pittsburgh's going to have different criteria than Parsons, than Independence, than Labette County. And, you know, one case pops up at Parsons High School and it could be the whole school shuts down. But one case pops up at Labette County High School and everybody's spaced out and everything keeps going. How are you kind of dealing with schools interpreting things differently and constantly having to manage that from the athletic side?
Well, you know, county health departments, we don't control that. I think they do what they do. I know we met as athletic directors a couple of weeks ago to try to, you know, the winter sports obviously is a key concern, you know, to make sure everything within the league is pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. The principals just met last Wednesday and I think came up with a good plan, you know, of ticket sharing and stuff and what we're going to do within our gymnasiums. Now everybody's gymnasium is different.
Yeah. And you know, and that's something I wanted to talk about, and might as well just bring it up now. You know, winter sports indoor, which are basically all indoor, we got a bit of a preview with it. There's some fall sports that are indoor. You got volleyball being the primary one, but I mean, you have indoor sports. Inside, indoor transmission is much more volatile than outdoor transmission when it comes to this virus. So when I'm starting to think about what this winter is going to look like, and everybody wants to say, oh, what's basketball season going to look like? Well, it's going to look different for every sport, whether it's wrestling or basketball or swimming. Right now, Labette County and Parsons High School swimming, it may not happen for the boys in the winter, because LeBlanc County does not have boys swimming. I do not.
No, we do.
You do, yeah.
But it's not going to happen.
Because right now
we just found out it's not going to happen.
Yeah, because you guys, just like Parsons High School, practice at the state hospital.
Yeah.
And the state hospital here in Parsons, which serves, does great work, by the way. Obviously, it's had multiple outbreaks. And so they're not letting the public out. And honestly, that's probably the right move by the state hospital. And so, I mean, you know, you look at it, basically saying when I looked at indoor sports, I thought, okay, we're going to see a lot more restrictions than we probably saw in the fall. And that's going to start probably with some crowd, with outright crowd restrictions of you're not going to let people in, as many people in. And I'm curious as to what you think about that right off the rip.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, like I said, we've talked about seating capacity, safety. We're worried about us, you know, and I think that's this whole thing. I think people have to be a little greedy. You know, they're not worried about what are you doing in Johnson County. You know, we got to worry about LeBlanc County, what we're doing at LeBlanc County High School for the safety of our people. Mm-hmm. You know, we want our kids to play seasons. This has to be about the kids.
Yeah.
At some point. I mean, you know, we're going to have fans. Parents are going to get a watch. But, you know, the day of bringing, you know, 15 family members is probably over. I mean, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It is just because everybody else wants to bring somebody, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do. We face some – we're lucky in our gymnasium, mm-hmm. I think.
Your gym and Parsons High School's gym may be the best set up for social distancing measures and crowd restriction measures, probably in the league, and maybe within 100 miles of here. I mean, LeBlanc County, you guys have it where your stands – if you take away fans from those stands that come out, you know, a lot of where your student section normally sits during basketball night, if you were to take fans – now, I don't know what you guys are planning, but if you guys were to take fans out of, you know, that – I'm trying to think – of the north side and just had fans sitting on the upper side where you have to go up those stairs to do it and just kept the central staff and players and coaches on that bottom level, on court level – there you go. That's a social distancing measure.
Well, we're lucky on the south side. We don't have nobody behind our coaches and players anyway.
No. So yeah. And Parsons right
us
now.
Us in Pittsburgh, I believe, are the only two schools that can do that completely where nobody is on that floor level.
Yeah.
You know, which is nice.
Yeah. And Parsons, I know, is very much considering they have fans that sit on bleachers right behind the scoreboard, but it's only like three rows, and then it goes – upstairs. Now they have bleachers on the other side, but from what I know, they're pretty set on getting rid of those fans that sit right behind the team and at least creating that area right there. And then I'm curious as to what they'll do. Maybe I don't know if they're going to take away the first three rows or something in basketball on the other side or something like that. But you know, that was my initial thought. And I go through this hypothetical exercise a lot in my head. And I've actually asked you this question before off air, but I want to ask it to you. And it's that I'm an objective guy who wants to say, okay, I want to see these seasons go as safely and as wholly as possible. The best way to do that, or one of the ways to do that, is to keep as many people out as possible, probably, to an extent. Part of me argues that anything beyond a guardian of a player or coach or whatever, or manager, probably shouldn't be there. Justify to me why anything beyond a guardian of a player should be there. And I want to toss in that I do believe like the band should be there. It's hard to tell the basketball team you can go play, but hard to tell the band you can't be there.
Well, you know, part of the educational experience is sports.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, you know, part of the day rigors. We have a great student section.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is it unfair for some of them to get a go?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the high school experience. I mean, I'm at OU yesterday watching that. The band is not on the ground at all. They're up in the stands, just partial band too. And that's a big thing there. You know,
oh, yeah.
I mean, that's that pregame, I mean, that's special. You
and,
know,
I mean, just like at K-State, they have the band, I believe, on the
yeah. –
They believe they have the band on
those,
you know, one
those
of the
senior band members. This is, man, what they've lived for, what they've looked forward to for 4 years. They lost it. You know, that's part of the experience, you know, and I see that and I feel sorry for kids like that. You know, as I will feel sorry, you know, obviously there'll be some limitations, you know, and we've not sat down. We don't have all the particulars down yet exactly what everything's going to look like, but I think Mr. Holtzman's done a good job of starting that conversation. But I still think there's an experience there for kids. Some high schools, I mean, I know that, and we've talked to lots of different leagues, they're not worried about the parents coming in. They want the kids. They're more worried about the kids coming in because that's the experience.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to try to obviously suit both, I hope.
Yeah.
You know.
I always say parents / guardians because, you know, I would think that, you know, kind of all things held equal, it's probably even safer to have parents and guardians there than not, especially when you're competing in an athletic event, because what if the kid gets hurt or some emergency mm-hmm. happens? Slippery slope to not let parents in, and slippery for a reason. So,
yeah, it is. It is. I mean, and we're even, you know, we have Hari Hall. You know, that's even, you know, and it's a lot like Parsons Auxiliary. It's a lot like a lot of our auxiliary gyms we have, not very big.
Yeah.
What do you do there? And, you know, so, I mean, there's a lot of questions that have been asked, you know, that we'll need answers to. But
is there a magic number that you're probably looking at for basketball games and or wrestling duels or competitions this
no,
year?
No, not right. Right now, no, we haven't came up with a magic number. I mean, you know, I know they went up and just kind of looked at where they could safely set people, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, what's our maximum we want to bring in to the gym percentage-wise.
Yeah. You're thinking you will issue tickets for home events, though.
Yeah, there's going to be tickets issued, and there'll be bracelets and stuff where what gym you can go to and what gym you can't go to.
Yeah.
Because you have to.
And that'll restrict some of the foot traffic just between the varsity and – I'm sorry, not the varsity, the main and the aux gym. Yeah. To where if you have a game you're watching in the aux gym and you don't need to be in the main gym.
That's a huge advantage of ours.
Traffic. Yeah.
Because, you know, say you want to go watch the two freshmen, you know, you got freshmen playing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they never come to the high school.
Correct. Gym,
so
yeah.
Those parents wouldn't have to come in. So that's easy to do on that part of it, you know. Mm-hmm. Always, you know, but the hard thing is the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out, you know, who we can allow to come in, who we can't allow to come in. And, you know, that's above my pay grade. So,
yeah.
You know, and I'm glad it's above my pay grade because those guys have to do a lot of tough stuff.
You went to the Oklahoma Sooners, Kansas Jayhawks game yesterday down in Norman. I'm curious, just from the fans' perspective, tell me what that was like in the world, going to a football game of a big time Power Five. You know, going to a college football game in COVID. What was that like?
Yeah, for me, the whole, you know, going to OU has been something I've done my whole life, and it's special.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we knew it was different just walking down the street, and there's very few vendors, very few people. You know, it's almost like a ghost town a little bit.
And on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, going into the stadium, you know, and we're at 20% capacity. I felt like we're probably at a KU football game, you know. Because usually when I go there, I can pick out what seat I want to go to.
Oh, that was the common tweet was, nobody is more prepared for the crowd sizes of this in the Big 12 than KU is.
Yeah, they were set up for it. But, you know, it was, I mean, what I witnessed, a lot of people did a great job. You know, we wore masks.
Mm-hmm.
We were spaced out. You know, we didn't get our actual season, you know, seats where we're normally at, so we were kind of in between. But, you know, man, I saw security going up and down the stairs. They were on people. I saw a family get kicked out.
What, so what was the family getting kicked out for? They weren't wearing masks, and they were defiant in their ability.
You know, we saw it a lot. People were warned the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you weren't warned the second time because obviously they'd been warned, and they were way up top. So the officer had to go way up top to get them. And they didn't put their mask on coming down either. So they were making a statement all the way out.
When I was a stadium usher for the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium, I swear the people that were within like 5 or 10 rows of me up or down, they got more warnings. But if I had to go 25, 30 rows to go get you, you got maybe one warning. If I had to make that hike up there again, you were coming out with me.
Yeah, that's weird. You know, something physical exertion.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not decision making. I can't believe that.
I'm not killing myself to get you under control.
Yeah, man, that's weird. You're with your physique. I was shocked.
Final words before we kind of go to our first break. Before we end what the on air portion of this. Of this program, final word out of you, Coach.
Yeah, I'm proud of our school district.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of our kids. For the job we've done, I think they've all done a great job, and I couldn't be happier with how the fall, you know, turned out for us.
For sure. Coach Price, thank you for coming on. We're going to go to a quick break. For those of you listening on the radio, if you want to hear the rest of our conversation, head online. You can get this show on Apple Podcasts. You can get it on Podbean. You can go to the KOKC website. I always post a link to it on my Twitter. I'm sure Coach Price will do some of the same things, or at least repost what I do. Appreciate you coming on, Coach Price. We'll keep talking on the other side of this, but everybody continue to stay safe and God bless. And we are back here on the War Room. I'm your host, Sean Fry, joined by my fellow namesake, Sean Price, head football coach over at Lubbock County High School and co-athletic director for the rest of the year. Coach Price, no easy way to say it, 2-7 season, obviously not what you envision. I think it's the second season in a row you've been hit really hard by injuries, and then the last two games you were hit hard by the COVID contact tracing bug. But at the same time, you know, the teams all around the world get injured and their depth is able to prevail. I'm curious as to where you think you've had two seasons that I don't think are indicative of the type of win-loss success that you want to see with Lubbock County High School. Where do you feel like the program is at right now, and how do you, you know, where are you seeing some things that maybe need to be addressed? And you understand all of that is hard given the circumstances we're in right now.
You know, I don't think it would matter. As long as I lose my last game of the year, I'm never going to be satisfied.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's only one school in 4A that's going to be happy without, you know, maybe
and it's going to be Bishop Meade.
maybe the moral of the story and some morals, you know, that morally, you know, because, you know, we've lost to, 1 year we lost to Meade. You know, we lost to Andale, both state champions, in the state championship game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then we beat Frontenac, who was in the state championship game. And, you know, morals, oh, yeah, you know, that was a great season. Mm-hmm. I wasn't happy about it.
You're not a happy person, though.
No. Well, you know, I can handle a lot of things. You know, for me, it's tough for the kids, you know, and that's kind of what eats me up a little bit, you know, when the kids lose. You know, and that's what I suffered. You know, I suffer through the most. I want them to be successful. But on the other hand, I also understand about what life's about. And this is adversity, and we face it, and they have faced it. They've lived it. You know, this is going to help them out mm-hmm. later in life. You know, because they're going to say, well, hold on, we've had it tougher than this. You know, I mean, I've had to ask some kids that have no business playing positions to play positions. You know, and we looked at the end of the year. You know, Noah Grady was one of probably our best players at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, we didn't even have him last game. But he, we look at him as freshman year and where he's came from, what he's done to his body, just his buy-in, his belief, you know, and family and the team. It makes you proud, mm-hmm. you know, because I guarantee we don't win any games getting off the bus. Nobody looks at us and go, ooh, look at those guys. We just don't have those kind of kids right now. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll still take mine over everybody else. I mean, disappointing season. Yeah, it's disappointing. We still competed for an SEK title, though.
Yeah.
You know, we were still relevant, and we really should have beat Chanute. And we were we make three plays in a game and we win by 21.
That's like 3 years in a row you should have beat Chanute. I mean.
Well, no, not three. We beat them 3 years ago. We stomped them, but yeah.
And I mean, I guess it's just, you know, nobody wants to go through a 2-7 season. And
no,
you know, you look at the roster you have now. What do you, you know? You've gotten away from what your identity was over these last few years, which was air raid offense. I think you'd gotten away from that. We talked about that during the season that you tried to go back to that as best you could. How do you, you know, is that so, now what happened in your last game against Tonganoxie is. You got down big early, and so you threw in Kendall Holtzman, a freshman quarterback who you expect to compete for that job on the varsity squad next year, and he threw some good balls and had some decent plays. And do you feel like you have the personnel to execute that going into the year? Are you going to try to mold the guys that you have to fit that offensive identity?
Yeah, you know, I'd had 3 years of Deans, you know, at quarterback. You know, actually, I had 4 years of Deans at quarterback, and you know, with Logan and Easton, you know, and they could execute real well. Then we lose Austin Jones 2 years ago, and obviously that was just a killer for us because he could have executed what we wanted to do. So you know, we throw a kid who hadn't played football at all into there, you know, and we tried to patch it, didn't work. Did it again this year, didn't work. You know, put Griff Eaton in. Which, you know, the only reason we won some games is because of Griff Eaton.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, he scored most of our points. He's just gritty. Griff will be the first to tell you the passing part of it's tough. You know, he's not very tall, you know. But, man, I'll tell you what, as far as a competitor, he's exactly what you want out of your quarterback.
I mean, that man, you did not sit there and say, oh, he's not playing hard enough. He's not trying to do his absolute best. I mean, that man competed out there for you, Griffin did.
Yeah, every play he did. He's a tough kid. He wants to win, you know, and he's a teammate. So, you know, yeah, you know, excited. You know, end of the year went well. I mean, you know, like say, you know, and I talked to Griffin at halftime, the Tonganoxie game, said, man, I praised him, thanked him for everything he's done. I said, we're going to let Kendall get some reps. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew it was going to be a running clock, so we went and did that. And, you know, Kendall went out and did what I thought he would do. You know, that's why we have JV games. You know, I mean, he throws the best deep ball of anybody. It's not even close.
Yeah.
You know, really good. You know, he's, you know, just no different than Griff, the same spot he's in. You know, they both have to mature and continue to work hard mentally. You know, the physical stuff, we can work on that, mm-hmm. obviously through reps and things. But the mental part of it, that's where our makeup has to improve. Yeah. You know, a lot, you know, and get the vibe in, you know what I mean? Because, yeah, you know, identity, and this isn't the first time. I mean, I was at McDonald County, and we didn't have a quarterback, and, man, I'm running, I got three backs out there, full house stuff, you know, just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking for stuff, and, you know, we lined up against Chanute and double tight, you know. So, mm-hmm. you know, when Sean Price do that, not very often.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's one of the things we had to do because we didn't have a big score threat. Yeah. You know, we couldn't go, you know, until the last two games of the year, we didn't have a scoring play over 10 yards. Mm-hmm. So that's tough.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know.
And that's really.
Because everybody can hit one of those plays once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, that's kind of what you live on to an extent. It was hitting those. I mean, not that you rely on touchdowns of 50 plus yards, but you in particular have always been able to have an offense that can manufacture that very, very organically big play touchdowns.
Well, you know, in high school, you know, when you have you have to have a 15-play drive to drive down the field at 3 and 4 yards. Only takes one penalty.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you can't throw the ball, now you are in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, now you're behind the chains, you know, and that's just something that's tough. You know, and we all face that, you know, to some degree in a game. I mean, Fort Scott game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we held them to 113 total yards. They hit a 70-yard touchdown where we missed the tackle in the hole. And went 70 yards. They only had 43 yards in the game after that.
Yeah.
Before after that. That caused, you know, I mean, that was a killer. You know, and, you know, somebody scores like that and gets up on you, you go, golly, I hope I can score again, you know, yeah. Which is something I've never, you know, that's never been a worry. Hey, go score, that's fine. I mean, I'll go score some points. You know, we're in that deal. We have to get better at that position, but our receivers got to get better too. We dropped a lot of balls this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't tell you the number of passes that are just in our hands and we're not doing it. And it's little things. You know, defensively, man, we've played well though. You know, our kids, you know, they're built for, you know, what we face each week. I mean, we were in every game but Tonganoxie really. So, you know, we just got to continue to work. We'll lift. Do what we're supposed to do, and we'll develop those young kids. And
what what's the wrestling program under new coach Chaz Thompson now, a LeBec Community College alum? He was the coach at Fort Hayes for a long time. I know there's every football coach in America, every high school football coach in America will tell you, if my kid's not playing basketball, I want him wrestling. And I'm sure that's something you preach as well. How do you factor that in?
Yeah, we want our kids, you know, playing three sports as much as possible, just competing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it's about. I mean, if you never go wrestle a match, you know, go out.
Yeah.
You know, it's gonna make you better. You know, and as I said it when Chaz was hired, it was a home run hire for us. You know, he's energetic. The kids really like him. You can tell that already.
Yeah.
They're ready to get around. I'm watching him in the junior high room, and I, you know, one of our Coach Argerbright went and sat and watched him practice one day, which is something, you know, we do sometimes as coaches. I like to watch other coaches coach.
Yeah.
You know, well, he watched him. He walked down. He said, man, he's the real deal. He can teach. You know, that's what this is about. It's, mm-hmm. it's still about teaching, you know. And, you know, so I think he's going to do a great job for their program. Excited about him.
And he's the boys' wrestling coach because obviously.
Yeah, he's the boys' coach. Coach Storm is the girls, and he's done a great job.
Job with them.
Yeah, yeah. That's right up his alley. He's done a great job, you know, mm-hmm. running everything. So, you know, and Coach Storm's going to do a wonderful job.
And I think a lot of people with Coach Storm and the LeBec County Girls Program, they'll hang so much of it on Abby Jones because, you know, she was very much the pioneer for the school. People are going to forget Chloe Guile went and medaled last year at wrestling. Mm-hmm. For the LeBec County girls, she had a lot of what probably was her best day of the year up there at state, mm-hmm. and she you know she's looking to improve on that. And when you see someone who's that young and that very new to the sport have that type of success, that generally is a product of coaching.
Well, you know, with girls wrestling right now, mm-hmm. you know, and for guys, you know, and, you know, I did it from second grade on. So if you didn't have a wrestling background, it's tough to jump into high school and be successful. Not with the girls, though, because this is, you know, you're at the bottom of the floor right now. Yeah, this is the time to get into wrestling if you're a girl, because you can be competitive right now. And that is not true of boys.
It's not true of basically any sport.
No.
Except wrestling in high school. High school girls wrestling in Kansas. Yeah. And that's what makes the opportunity so unique, too. I look at obviously you have a very vested interest in wrestling. We were talking earlier on the show about all the restrictions that and all the guidelines that are being put out for winter sports. I haven't looked through them all, and I don't have them in front of me right now, so I don't want to, you know, veer too into the weeds. I know wrestling, the guidelines that Keisha sent out for wrestling, I know this, if they were mandates and not considerations, you probably just couldn't even have wrestling. It would be borderline, you know, probative of having wrestling.
Yeah, it's tough. There's a lot, obviously. And there's a lot for basketball, too. But, yeah wrestling, it's there is. There's a ton.
Isn't there one where it says, like, you have to have a different singlet for each match?
It's recommended that you change your singlet after each match and take a shower. You know, the problem is, are the facilities going to let us do that? You know, I mean, it's there's a lot.
How many sets of singlets do you have right now at LeBec County High School?
Oh, we probably have 3-4 sets.
Which, I mean, you're probably going to wrestle at least, you know, at most tournaments, kids are going to wrestle 5 to 6 times. The richest schools in the state don't have 6.
No, then that's an issue. Obviously, a 2-day tournament, you could wrestle 5 and 5.
Yeah.
Well, how are you going to wash your gear?
Yeah. How are you going to wash your gear?
So now the coach is going to have to get done. He's going to have to take those kids to eat, get them in the hotel room. He's got to find laundry. You know, so that's something else in itself. So there's a lot of different hoops to jump, but we're willing to do it because, you know, we want our kids to compete. Mm-hmm. And I think if you know Dr. Wyrick at all at LeBec County, that's the thing. We just want our kids to have a chance to go out and compete in something, mm-hmm. be a part of something. School is miserable when there's nothing to do other than go to school. Because some kids, you know,
I hate it. I was a high 3 GPA kid. You know, did well on my ACTs. Yeah. I was a smart kid. I was able to do well in school academically. I hated it. I hated academics when I got into college. I was just never that quote unquote into school, and I hate saying that out loud. Yeah. But
well, can you imagine a school like it? You know, you take you can't do FFA, you can't do theater, you can't do all these other programs.
I lived on yearbook.
Yeah, plus sports. I was in yearbook. I was in newspaper. You know, I was in theater. You know, my day would have been miserable. Okay, you can't go do theater this year. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do choir, you can't do band. You know, sports is just another extension of all those things. You know, everything's every bit as important as the next. You know, because certain kids have certain things they want to do. You know, my son plays football, but my son's in band, my son's in choir. Those are just as important to him too. And you know, if they said, okay, we can't do band this year, he'd be devastated. It'd be tough on him. You know, so you know, I think we lose sight of that sometimes. We just see the sports part of it, but there's a lot of kids involved in a lot of activities out there that have been affected. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, National FFA Conference didn't have they had to do something different for that. Those kids live to go there.
Oh yeah,
I mean, they work 4 years. You're waiting to go to there. You know, I remember watching Devin Foster my first year win a national. I was online watching him. I watched him win a national title. I was so darn happy. He missed my game, missed the game, and that was okay. Yeah. He was a national champion. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. There was, if I remember correctly, there were a couple girls for Chautauqua Volleyball last year that missed state. First time in school had ever gone to state. They missed it to go do something with FFA. Mm-hmm. And I have my own opinions about that, but it at least shows that for two of those girls, FFA was you know, at any, it was something to participate in at any cost.
Yeah.
And
I think, that's, like I said, that's true for so many of our kids.
Yeah.
You know, because I always say to, you know, we have an eighth grade day when, you know, a week actually, when kids will come in. They'll come in and watch my weights class during the hour. I talk to them, if you can come to LeBec County, you can't find something in 4 years that you like, then you're very hard to please. Because we have so many opportunities. And I can't imagine if I'm, you know, I mean, I was not a great student, okay? That might come as a shock. I was not. I had to work hard. But if Sean Price was going to go to school and he's going to sit in biology class, English, and everything else, and he got to do nothing else, that was going to be a long day for me when I didn't have something to look forward to at the end of the day. Whether, like I said, I was here because of the photographer.
Yeah.
You know, I was in newspaper with Mrs. Joanne Payne. She's still out there. She's on Facebook with me. She's awesome. You know, I did those things. And Miss Falkenberry with theater. Mm-hmm. That was fun. You know, I enjoyed doing those things. And I can't imagine not having those options.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, John Weirich said to me, he's a superintendent over at Labette County.
He is? Okay. I didn't know.
Okay, not everybody didn't recognize the name. Not everybody,
good call, Sean Frank.
Not everybody listening knows every single name right off the rip. You know, we get about 2,000 listens on this show a week, and I don't think 2,000 people know who John Weirich is just name alone.
They should.
Maybe. I don't know. But, you know, so the superintendent over there at Labette County High School, he told me, you know, let's just not even go to school if we can't do activities. And, you know, I think he's not serious. I think if, you know, if for whatever reason activities were completely shut down because of this, but you could still have in-person school, he would fight to preserve that. Mm-hmm. He's kidding, but not really. Like, and I feel like school districts by and large and a student's identity by and large are defined by the activities and options that schools can provide. And I feel like every dollar invested in that is a dollar invested into their tie to that school.
Yeah. He loves our kids, and he knows, you know, what that would create. You know, we can't do anything.
In the spring, I'm sure.
Yeah, it did. You know, but yet we couldn't be in school.
Yeah.
So we're doing nothing, you know, and you know, to see what that did to our kids, you know, and I met with our kids, you know, every day. Mm-hmm. You know, in class, you know, and was, you know, or well, I guess in spring I was just once a week,
yeah.
You know, but man, those kids, it was tough. I mean, it was really more mental checks. How are they doing?
We haven't been on the radio. I haven't had you on this radio show since last fall. I'm very curious, you know, so winter sports were done at Labette County when the virus hit. You guys hadn't started spring sports yet. Which was...
We were in practice.
In practice. Yeah, yeah. In practice. Hadn't had any competitions yet, I guess is the right phrasing there. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious as to what you felt and what kind of... where your head was at as everything unfolded. I've told the story 100 times on the show. You know, Wednesday I went and covered an LCC softball game in Pittsburgh. And on the drive there, I was just thinking about normal sports stuff, thinking about Parsons basketball, going to the state tournament, and, you know, thinking about LCC softball because I'm headed there. Like, okay, what's their conference season's rolling around? What am I thinking? In 48 hours, it was all gone.
Yeah.
And I'm curious as to kind of, from your perspective, being the AD, knowing that you have you were coming off a wrestling season, how you kind of, what was your perspective of how it unfolded?
It was disbelief. Mm-hmm. You know, wow, I can't believe this could happen to us. You know, and
it happened all around the country.
It did. Yeah. The initial shock of that obviously was big. Then you start looking at your seniors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we got some kids that's, you know, one sport athletes. When you put all your eggs in one basket, that's kind of what happens. And some of them, they lost their last year. That's tough. Mm-hmm. You know, we had so many good spring athletes, you know, had chance to medal at state and do some things.
I mean, look at Ethan Jamison, who could have been the high jump state champion.
Yeah.
I mean, and he played two sports, and, you know, say what you want about anybody. He put, you know, he was bred, you know, track was probably what he loved. Honestly, you could argue track is what he loved the most.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to have that opportunity to be the high jump champion. And that was when I looked at, you know, all the different people, all the different athletes and all the different teams that I thought lost the best opportunity to have the most success. Obviously, he was kind of on that short list.
Yeah. Yeah, I look, you know, I have friends in coaching in other states that lost it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, as a football coach, I'm preparing now for next year already.
Yeah.
You know, I'm watching film, doing little things right now. But that gets it, you know, mm-hmm. when you put it all out there and you're so ready for the payoff, then you don't get the chance of the payoff, you mm-hmm. feel like you've been robbed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Ethan, I guarantee, you know, he went through some of those things, and he's a great kid.
Yeah.
You know, great athlete. Yeah, he could have won a state title. And
it was weird because I remember, like, during the stay-at-home order and everything like that, you know, he was working at – He was working at Domino's, and he, by the way, your daughter works at Domino's now. So
well, she doesn't anymore. She's back at Corner Store in Altamont, but she did, yes.
Okay.
Through that whole pandemic, Maddie worked
very
there.
Recently, because she just delivered food to my apartment not too long ago.
You
so.
Eat? That's weird.
I eat? Wow.
Well, she said something about, you know, 5 pizzas for your evening meal. I didn't know what she meant by that.
She's lying, by the way. I want everybody to be fully aware of that.
She didn't say that. Come on.
But it was so weird that... You know, it was a stay-at-home order, and I remember it was the first day of it. It was March 30th, and, you know, March 30th was the day the stay-at-home order went into effect in Kansas. The only reason I remember that date right off the rip is because it's my birthday. And so that night, I just, you know, I ordered Domino's pizza for myself.
So you didn't worry about them staying at home and not coming out?
They were food workers, and anybody who I tipped very well, okay. But it was Ethan Jameson who delivered it. I was like,
yeah, ironic.
Man, that's just, this interaction shouldn't be happening right now. Like, I should be watching you jump somewhere. It's just so weird to me. You've said you've mentioned something twice, which is, you know, we talked about wrestling. You said we want our kids to be 3-sport athletes. And then you talked about the spring athletes that lost their season. If they're 1-sport athletes, all they're raised into one basket. You know, that's even a more devastating blow. And I am all for the, you know, I believe in being multi-sport athletes, especially in this area, mainly because if your whole school specializes, you won't be able to field teams at that point. But at the same time, you know, there's certainly a lot of injury prevention benefit and health benefits to being a multi-sport athlete. I don't necessarily want to argue that. What I do want to talk about, though, and this is something I talked about with a couple coaches at LeBec County High School and a couple coaches all around the area, which is, we saw, I believe, when all the sports shut down, one of the byproducts, and I wrote about this in the Parsons Sun, was that I think you will actually see some of these kids' bodies start to heal, particularly the kids that play 3 sports year-round and just never freaking stop. And, you know, when I talked to Heather Wilson about it, the volleyball coach at your school at LeBec County, she, you know, the first kid she brought up was Anna Dean. And, you know, a three-sport do-it-all. When I talked to, I talked to Mariah Monroy, a girls athlete over at Cherryville High School, and she was a defending triple jump champion, and she lost her chance to defend that title. She'll hopefully get her chance this spring, but, you know, and it'll still be her title to defend. But she said, you know, I was hurting at the end of that basketball season, Sean, and, you know, I've had 2 weeks off now, and I'm finally not hurting. I'm finally not in pain anymore. And I understand you don't need 3 months off to not be in pain anymore, but I'm curious. One of the things I kind of wonder out loud is there was a lot of time off. You saw it when, you know, when you finally were able to open weights back up in the summer while kids were way out of shape. I'll never forget you did, like, Bradley Argerite was running the weight room, and I remember thinking to myself, the intensity of the workout, I was like, for 15 minutes, I was like, I could handle this. And you had a kid trying to run to the field, and that kid was cramping. I mean, and I just – but anyway, point being, while you had kids massively out of shape, I don't think you had any kids with just those nagging injuries that just never seem to go away without prolonged rest. Is there any sort of recalibration on the side that maybe at the Coaches Association or maybe within your school that you've been talking about that, okay, maybe we just saw the value of a lot of rest. How do we – is that something that you want to see maybe creep back in a little bit? Because I think the way Keisha and high schools across the country have all trended is, you know, we want our kids to do more so we can do more in the summer. We can do more in the off season. We can do weights more, go to more camps, go to do more drills, have more practices, all that, which is all great. But then every coach is going to do the maximum allowed because you don't want to be the team that's not doing it. Do you want to see any of that scaled back? And is that – or what did you learn from the time that you got off?
I don't know. I still think if you do proper weight training and and the things you do, I think, you know, you're fine for year-round, you know, the 3 sports. I mean, I don't buy into that. That was a, you know, if a person's injured, obviously rest. But the normal kid, no, that's not a benefit. I don't see how that's a benefit. I just don't buy into that because I still think, you're losing the other aspect of it. You're competing, you're training, you're doing that stuff. And, you know, these guys, you know, a high school athlete, an athlete, period, the majority of us are very short-term. We're four-year athletes.
Yeah.
And that's it. You're not going to train like that after this. You're done.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, the summer stuff, I'll be honest, I'm a minimalist anyway. You know, I think on a normal year, we go to one or two seven-on-sevens. That's it. Well, everybody around here goes to a league. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go to Carl Junction for a couple days, you know, for camp and stuff. We don't do a ton as it is, you know, but, you know, if Keisha, you know, I was in Missouri when Missouri gave us, they cut down, said, okay, you get 25 days of contact where you can do anything you want with them. I didn't use 25 days. I thought, wow, that's too many.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't. I mean, how do you use 25 days? I mean, that is half your summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've never bought into that anyway. I mean, I'm going to do what I think I need to do to get my kids ready, and I'm really not going to care what Chanute, what Independence, you know, because they're doing mini camps and that stuff all the time. I'm just not going to worry about that because I know what it takes to get my kids ready for a season. So, you know, I'm almost a less is more in the summer because if I get an injury in the summer, I am really in trouble now.
Yeah.
There's no layoff in between. They're going right into my year, and you know, and knock on wood, I've been fortunate for that stuff, and you know, and I don't know.
And you say less is more. I mean, there are kids. You know, what was always kind of funny to me was the fact that when Keisha came out with its reacclimatization protocol for opening up summer weights, they set a restriction on how long you could go, which is a great thing, by the way.
Yeah.
But the restriction for the first week was 3 hours, and I remember thinking to myself, we haven't done anything in 3 months. Who in their right minds would put those kids through for anything even touching 3 hours? And I guess I thought to myself, well, that's for the coaches. That 3-hour restriction was for the coaches who would literally go 10.
Yeah.
I mean, and there are coaches out there where if you tell them they can't, they will put those kids through 5, 6, 7-hour practices.
Yeah.
Maybe not in football, but I mean, it's, you know, and I guess I just feel like, you know, sometimes I see some kids, and it just seems like a lot.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's for like the upper end hit. It's not for the kid who only goes to weights half the summer and plays a sport and you know, maybe two. It is for that three sport athlete that's 90% in the weight room. That's where I think, okay, where can I find rest for them?
Mm-hmm.
And those kids probably while. It's almost rude and you know, sacrilege to say, they probably did benefit to at least some degree. It wasn't a complete throwaway for them to lose that spring season because they got a spring season where they got nothing but rest.
Yeah, the summer is, you know, it's a tough animal. I mean, we weren't going to start early anyway in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So we were actually going to start after Keisha's date anyway, and we did.
Oh, yeah.
You know, then, you know, and of course, we've always had that July 1 moratorium. I've taken that week off my whole career, and I take off August 1st.
Yeah.
So we try to find time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, like I said, I got buddies. They go Monday through Friday. I go Monday through Thursday.
I don't understand why Keisha even allows it. Like right after state track. There's summer weights right after. So state track will end on a Saturday.
Yeah, Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Weekend, yeah.
Memorial Day weekend.
On Tuesday, you're in.
Tuesday. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
And I feel like Keisha should. If I was Keisha executive director for a day, and you know, and
bless
but
us
they
all.
Told me, but they told, if only, and they told me I still couldn't touch public versus private classification. What I would tell them is probably one of the few things I would actually do is, all right, 2 weeks after state track ends, moratorium. Nobody's allowed to do a single thing for 2 weeks. And if we hear about it, there's going to be consequences. And to me, the point of that is, let's give kids some sort of summer. Let's let them go on their vacation, go on their cruises, go to the outer. I was going to say the Outer Banks because I grew up in high school in Virginia, so people always went to the Outer Banks.
But tell me this. I mean, you know, sitting here bouncing this off, you're talking about that. Where's the break between winter and spring sports? You're not concerned about that.
Well, that's why I want the summer.
Because the winter is the most grueling sport.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a long one.
Because I'm just a wrestler. Goes forever.
It is a brutal season. They get no break.
They don't.
And they go in the spring. That to me, the spring sport, I mean, that is not wrestling. You know, they work hard. Those kids bust their tail, but wrestling's a different animal.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, I've always wondered why we don't have a dead week there.
And I agree. I don't disagree with that notion. My only argument, it is not necessarily an argument against it. I think what Keisha would say is, where do we fit it into the calendar? And I guess what I'm saying is, well, at least give them the 2 weeks off after spring then. They don't even do that.
Yeah.
And when do you open up your summer weights? Do you do it right on that Tuesday?
It's in June.
Okay. Do you do it right on that Tuesday after?
No. We'll give them that next week, that week off.
I mean, at least that.
And I've done it before. Right, I'm not going to say that I haven't started it. I have.
Yeah.
You know, but, okay, so what do we do when we have nobody qualifies, or I got just the one kid qualifying?
Yeah.
Well, they've had their 2 weeks off, so I'm basically doing it for one kid.
Which I get that, but, you know,
but to me as a coach, I think the common sense thing, you know, that kid's worn out, you say, hey, take another week off.
Mm-hmm.
That would be your answer.
Yeah.
To actually use common sense, which is a rarity in today's mm-hmm. age.
I remember, you know, and I understand we're talking about, I think, upper ed athletes. We're talking about that three sport athlete who's probably pretty good, who's 90%+ weight attendance, and, you know, not every kid is like that. And I'm going to go even to the higher fringe. When I was at K-State, my roommate was Rodney Magruder. Played basketball at K-State, all Big 12 guy, plays for the Clippers now, played at the Heat for a little bit, very self-motivated guy. And, you know, he would go to the gym every night and put up extra shots and would be there for 2 hours just doing nothing but shooting and drills beyond practice, all on his own, just doing it all on his own. He didn't even want, you know, it's not that he didn't want me there, but, you know, he didn't ask me to go.
I don't blame him, though, let's be honest.
And so, at one point, he started seeing diminishing returns. His shooting percentages in games are going down a little bit. He was getting more just nagging injuries. So Bruce Weber, at one point his senior year, barred Rodney Magruder from going in after practice for 2 weeks. You cannot do any work outside of practice for 2 weeks. And I don't think I'd ever heard of that. I had never seen that before. You know, I think it takes a coach and it takes a person who is able to truly reflect and maybe swallow some pride a little bit and swallow some of that ego to say, don't work that hard. But I guess I wish more coaches would think like that at times. And I think you do to a degree. You don't just go, you know, balls to the wall the second
you have to know your kids. I mean, that's what all that is. You know, you can, you know, I say this all the time, you know, to my assistant coaches, you know, I mean, they have their group that they coach.
Mm-hmm.
Know those guys. You can tell when something's not right.
Yeah.
You know, what they need. We have – Zach McCarty mm-hmm. was super not feeling well a few years ago. And we could tell. Send him home. This is summer weights, in which I think you have to be there, be involved. He was a captain. We sent him home. He didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
We knew he didn't feel good. It was obvious just by – demeanor, by what he was producing, he was fighting it. You know, and I've always been that guy, hey, you get the most of a workout when you're not 100%. Well, he wasn't getting it out of it. We sent mm-hmm. him home.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's just a coach knowing their kids, and I think some coaches do a really good job knowing. I think some coaches don't care.
I think one problem that a lot of coaches will have, and a lot of people will have in every avenue of life is – what are you doing? What's
is that a sock?
It is a sock. This is Wayne Gilmore Studio, and we're not in our ivory
towers. In here? What do we got?
We are not in our ivory towers here at KOKC. We use socks.
That's a Russell sock.
Russell was owned by Nike at one point. Russell gets a bad rap. Russell has.
I used to order. Hey, I'm old, man. I used to order Russell stuff.
Hell yeah.
Wayne, were these Wayne's actual socks? Did he wear these?
Were these
marathon socks or what? I didn't know.
You're just now noticing that, by the way.
Well, I've been looking at it. And I don't know. I smelled something. I thought maybe he had it on.
What I was going to say was a lot of coaches and a lot of people in every avenue of life, well, every walk of life, I think a hard lesson to learn is discretion is the better part of valor. And, you know, that story about sending Zach McCarty
home. That's pride. That's a pride thing sometimes, you know. That's going from the old school, no, we're going to tough it out and do this, to you do what's best for the kids.
Yeah. And hopefully a result of the pandemic shutting down spring sports, if you can take anything positive or learn, everybody should be learning something from it. If I would hope one of the things people could learn is it is that discretion is a better part of value. Taking that value and some of your and some rest for some of those upper end kids, let them get healthy, and you know, I don't know. I hope that's something we learn going forward. Here's another thing that I thought was great was the way you guys did graduation. That drive-through graduation, yeah. Obviously we had so that was I had to be there to cover it for the Parson Sun. They had me on the news desk, you know, which I'm very blessed for because that was the way that was basically how I kept my job. Was they said, all right,
we've wondered how you're going to keep your job for years, but yeah,
a lot of people agree with you, Price.
I know they do.
Oh yeah, you're just the chairman of the club, but you know. Obviously, we got the perfect weather day. I don't think we've had a better weather day on the whole calendar year. But, you know, that is one thing. I think that's another iteration of, you know, why not always have your graduation outside now? And I'm not sure your administration will go for that. And I'm not sure if that's what you're
I know as teachers, we loved it. I mean, yeah. Mr. Olsman, that man, and Dr. Ward, those guys, that was a perfect plan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and people can, you know, and there's always going to be the naysayers on both sides of everything, no matter what you do. But it could not have worked out any better. I thought that was the way to honor those kids, and they deserve to be honored.
Now, I wouldn't advocate for a drive-through style graduation every year, but hell, let's have it out on that lawn every year. Why not?
Yeah, it was cool. I think it was pretty special.
Yeah. And I think it was, you know, it's one of those things. John Weirich said something right after that graduation that is also another thing John Weirich said that stuck in my head. You know, so I interviewed him after graduation, asked him how it went and all that. And the last question I asked him was, okay, now you got to get back into the business of prepping your school for the fall. What are your priorities? And he said, you know, we don't want to go back to normal. We want to move on to something better than where we were at before this hit. I would hope everybody takes that same kind of approach. I tried to do that in my own personal life. You know, I focused on getting my finances in order. I focused on becoming more, you know, self-reliant at home, cooking more, eating more meals at home.
And by ordering, you know, pizza from Domino's first day. Okay. Good call.
It was my...
I do think it was a good time for self-reflection. I mean,
yeah,
the pandemic was something. I mean, I know the first 2 weeks... I was sleeping in, doing stuff that I don't. I'm a 6 o'clock in the morning get up guy. I'm at work, you know. Usually, even right now, you know, I'm at 6:30. I don't got to be there till 7:50.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how I'm built. I went through a depression when this hit.
Oh yeah.
And Dr. Weirich's right. I mean, being a foresight's why he's a leader of our district. Why leave it the same when you can make it better? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we should always gear for. I mean, coaches, we do the same thing. I had to do the same thing. I'm 2 weeks in, and I'm thinking, what's my purpose here?
Yeah.
You know, I
think because I'm a kid. The whole country had an identity a crisis of identity and purpose.
Yeah, I'm a kid guy, you know, and I miss the kids. So what I do, I picked myself up, you know, started getting up early again. I had to-do lists, you know, what I wanted to get done and stuff like that, making contact with the kids, doing things like that because I missed them. You know, that's the toughest part because if I had to – I'm not built to work and do anything else, I don't think, because I have to have that interaction. You know, and I was worried about them because here's a problem. And I said this to a couple people, and I kind of surprised – I don't think they got it at first. But, you know, these kids had other things going on at home before this happened. Those things just didn't disappear.
If anything, they are magnified.
Yeah, but we forget those things.
Yeah.
You know, we do. We forget those things, and I think that's something that – as people, we need to do a better job of, you know. Okay, somebody's got something going on in the middle of March. Well, that problem's still there in the middle of April.
Yeah.
Okay, except for, yeah, like you said, maybe magnified because of COVID. You know, these kids, you know, they got issues. And you know, and we tend to, when things go on, we forget about stuff. We forgot about COVID this week for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, with all the crap going on. So it's one of those things, I think.
And people, I mean, talk about going on the radar. State, you know, country, nationwide, highest case count, daily case count. For the virus, since the outbreak, it got overshadowed by the election. I'm not saying the election's not a big deal nationwide. I hope everybody voted. Did you vote?
Yes, I did vote. I vote every year. Taught government for 16 years.
Attaboy.
So. But yeah, to me, it's all perspective, and that's what Dr. Weirich Shane Holtzman, Stacy Smith, our Board of Education. This is about the kids. Mm-hmm. Man, this isn't about us.
Yeah.
You know, you got to shove the ego. I want to win football games. Mm-hmm. But I want my kids to go be successful more than I want to win football games.
Well, you said you know, it was a time for self-reflection, and everybody wants to get – and you want to get back to something better. What was something tangible, concrete, and evident that you – that maybe you changed or evolved in your approach to your job?
You know, my relationship with all the kids. You know, I started a deal, and Jack Leake made fun of me a little bit because – I'm a sarcastic person. I'm a joker. You know that, okay? You don't have to say nothing.
No,
everybody listening to this knows those things. But I don't think I've done a great job of maybe interacting with the rest of the student body at times.
Mm-hmm.
So for over a month, man, we're maybe at 2 months now, I address every kid I can. I'm asking them, hey, how's your day? How are you doing? I challenge my football team and my classes and weights. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the hour, say, go out and reach out to somebody today that you normally wouldn't reach out to. You know, because we want to gripe, we want to make changes. All the, you know, I don't care about Kent. I'm not worried about changing. Let's start here at Labette County.
Yeah.
I talk to kids now, and this is so funny because I'm getting teased one day a little bit because I've changed, you know, and all this stuff. But I had out of seven kids walk by, came by and said, Coach, how's your day?
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't think I've been asked that a lot in my career by kids. We always, hey, how was your weekend? This and that. I hadn't been asked a lot by kids. I just hope those kids will ask somebody else that. And mm-hmm. Because it makes you feel good when actually somebody says, hey, how's your day been? Because mm-hmm. you know what? That means they actually care to ask you. Yeah, maybe deep down, they might not really care.
Yeah.
But they're spending the time to get to know you. I talk to kids now that I've never talked to before. Mm-hmm. You know, I love these guys. You know, they're kind of my guys now, you know, and I look forward to seeing them at lunch every day. I think it's pretty cool.
And I think that bridges the gap between you being the football coach, weights teacher, kind of being in your own bubble, so to speak. And I think that pops that bubble a little bit, and probably for the better. Not necessarily pops it, but it expands it a little bit.
And it should be, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it should be. You know, like I said, my son's involved in other things.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always cared about, you know, what anybody in our school's doing, but I never took the time to get to know them as well.
I'll say this. The high school football coach at my high school, Stonebridge High School, when I was growing up in school, he was great about that too, which was, you know, getting to know the entire student body and treating them all. He probably treated non-football players with more compassion, more empathy than he did his own players to a degree. Mm-hmm. And he did that very purposefully, and he was great with that. And I think that's why at Stonebridge High School, I mean, at any high school, there's going to be the stereotypical, oh, they're the jocks or the football players. There's always going to be some sort of division. I mean, to completely get away from that is, you know, beyond the scope of what almost any human being is possible of. But it very much bridged a lot of gaps. There was not a big animosity between, you know, the football players and the non-football players, if that makes sense. And you know, and I believe that was very much a product of the environment and the culture that Coach Mickey Thompson was able to instill there. And it seems like you're trying to do some of the same thing.
Yeah, I think our kids, you know, I don't think any of our athletes at our school are kind of, you know, really, I don't think there's any separations because they're such, we're so
close. It's
such
a smaller community.
Yeah, we're so such good friends with everybody else anyway, and we're in other programs and doing other things, so. Yeah.
I just wanted
to see the kid walking down the hallway that's maybe had a bad day. I wanted our kids to understand that. I wanted to be more visual. Look for that kid. That's what I asked him to do. Look for the kid walking with his head down, mm-hmm. having a bad day. Ask him how he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you've done something there. You know, maybe you made that kid's day because, you know, and Anna Dean was one I said, Anna, they might be, you know, a little bit in awe of you. They're scared to approach you,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of who you are. Approach them.
Yeah,
you know, because you never know. It could end up being a lifelong friend too that you don't know you're going to have.
Which is odd on Anna Dean's case. I mean, because obviously you were very close with her older. You mentored her older brother, her Logan and Easton were brothers, right?
Cousins.
Okay. Coached her cousin, coached her older brother. Mm-hmm. You know, you would think someone in the Dean family wouldn't have that impression.
No, she's not, because she's really friendly and stuff. But there's people out there because of who you are. They might not approach you.
Mm-hmm.
They think, well, man, oh, man, she's really smart, really good athlete, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, and open the door for that to happen. You know, that was a message and all this. Just open the door to be a better person. And, just make a difference here at LeBec County.
We mentioned the you mentioned all the reflection you did and everything. I'd be remiss that I've asked a lot of my guests this. I asked them because, you know, this show is called The War Room, and I try to be challenging a little bit. I always consider the pandemic and a lot of the issues we're facing with race right now in this country, to me, they're the same story. I think the pandemic, and it's not that I think, it's the pandemic exacerbated a lot of inequities in this country, particularly with regards to race. If your life was hard, it was made harder. And there's all types of, you know, facts to back that up. And, you know, I can run through that if you want. But my question to you is, you know, you had TJ Mayhew on your staff this year, on your coaching staff this year. You had, you know, he was a former running back for you. You know, he grew up in Parsons, and he's a young black man who does, you know, I believe tremendous work in this community. He was one of the leaders of the Black Lives Matter protest here in Parsons, Kansas over the summer. I'm very curious how your thoughts on that issue in your community and your team and how you approach that maybe evolved or highlighted in any sort of way throughout the last few months. How you've thought about that.
Yeah, you know, when everything kind of came to a boil, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, you know, Mr. Holtzman came in. We actually talked to everybody, all the kids, a little bit, you know, and, you know, we wanted to make a change here, and it's – everybody wants to talk a good game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody can say what they want to do, but, you know, our thing has been show it. You know, show actions in that. You know, and having TJ there was great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, TJ, I'll never forget when he came to LeBec County. I mean, the first day in weights, I put him in with Rogan Bruce to lift because I knew Rogan was going to make him work.
Yeah.
You know, and I know no background of him. I didn't know if he's a hard worker or not, knew nothing about him. But he was a leader immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type, and that's why he's involved in all these things. I mean, you know, he's at a conference, you know, in Lawrence this weekend. You know, I let him take my truck. Hey, TJ, if you got my truck, I hope you bring it back okay. But, you know, I love him, and I think he's such a great role model for kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he's lived, you know, on both sides of it. You know what I'm saying? You know, he went to LeBec County High School, you know, went to Parsons High School,
yeah.
you know, completely, vastly different schools,
mm-hmm.
probably, you know, never been. Parsons High School. I'm just guessing.
They are different. It's different cultures, yeah. different environments there.
But, you know, I think it's still treat people the way you'd want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
The race thing is, you know, it's frustrating. You know, I think you're right. I think the pandemic really made it stick out like a sore thumb, you know, and probably opened some eyes, which I think were great.
Yeah.
You know, they needed to be opened. But, you know, we have to treat people better all the way around. It's a sad state that we're in. You know, and I think we've done this to ourselves and our country.
I think people are too
mean. And I'm not talking politics, but we've done ourselves there too.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
You know, everybody, I think there's this notion of, you know, we always say, you know, we don't want to talk about politics. We want to keep it civil. You know, let's talk politics. You know, politics are a part of this country, and I think people are a little too mean about it right now. I mean, yeah. this doesn't go on the radio, so we don't have any FCC regulations on this, so... So, pardon me, Coach Price, but, you know, I saw a post on Facebook last night that said, fuck Joe Biden and fuck you if you voted for him. What? There are good, reasonable people who voted for every candidate under the sun, who came there by their own, by true value. To me, that's being mean about that, that's just, you know, I don't understand where the mean, I feel like the country in a lot of ways, and I feel like society in a lot of ways, has gotten meaner, and maybe I'm just, you know, crying wolf or something like that, but I don't know how you turn that either.
It's sad. I mean, I've talked to people I'm close with about it too. It's we've done this to ourselves. I feel like, you know, we've let this division, you know, no matter what happens, I just don't think we're going to work together anyway right now because we're not at that place, you know. And it's almost one of those things, you know, I've used this because I'm a government teacher. I served in the Army. When things get bad, we get attacked or something like that, we come together.
Yeah.
You know, we do. You know, right now I'm thinking, what is going to be that moment that's going to bring us back together and the wake-up call? You know, throw some cold water on a face. Why are we like this? why are we so stupid? Why are we so mean to people? I saw the same thing on Facebook, and I thought, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, and I unfriended him.
Whether you voted for Biden as the president, or you voted for Trump, or I voted for Kanye West. And you know why I did that? Because, you know,
Kanye West had a shot.
But I voted for Kanye West because I know how the Electoral College works. And I knew my vote for it, whether I would have, you know, if you'd asked me to honestly choose it, I probably would have voted for Joe Biden. And I knew had I voted for Joe Biden, it was not going to change the presidential race in any tangible way. And so Kanye West is a musician and a celebrity that I've always been a big fan of. So everybody's had a tough year. So you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to vote for someone for president that would make me smile and make me laugh. And so I did that. And I took every other race on the ticket all the way to whether a judge should be retained or not way more seriously than I think your average citizen. I spent 2 hours looking at the records of those judges and figuring out, do I agree with their decisions or not? And making, you know, sound advice on people that, you know, there are people in my office who say they just go yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, just to get through the ballot. And so, you know, I think you're right. And, you know, and I post my ballot on Twitter. I'm transparent about it. And I say, hey, here's who I voted for. And someone saw I voted for Kanye and they go, oh, I've lost all respect for you. What? Why are you being so mean? And it's just, you know, I was a kid that struggled with being bullied in high school. I was a kid that really struggled with that. And there are scars that are still there. You know, I'm 28 years old and there are scars that are still there from when I was 15, 14, 13 years old. And I think it would always color my vision of the world to an extent. I see a lot of the behavior that I believe caused me so much pain just acted out by everybody now. I mean, to an extent, I don't even know how to address it.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I've said it twice now. It's I don't know. We haven't figured it out, obviously, in our country. We just fight against anything right now.
Oh,
it's because it's not maybe what we like. And hey, there's a lot of stuff I don't like. You know, it's one of those I talked about earlier. You know, I love my administration, but they tell me things I don't really agree with.
My editor tells me crap I don't
like. I go do them because it's my job, and it doesn't affect my relationship with them because I'm not in that spot. Just like I got assistant coaches. Hey, they get chewed out sometimes. Life is rough. We all do. Doesn't mean I don't love them. Don't mean they don't love me. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things. And it's, you know, I think we take everything so personal now because somebody else likes something. Hey, I like red. You like green. Let's fight about it. That's stupid.
I guarantee you there are people, if you put that argument online, there will be vitriol thrown between that.
I agree.
And to be honest, this week kind of, I was texting with somebody and, you know, they liked one of my tweets like 2 days after I posted it. And so I texted, it was one of my close friends, and I texted him back and I go, that's kind of a backdoor like there. And they go, oh, I've been saying off Twitter all week. And I've been like, good for you, because people are dumb.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I haven't been on social media very much. I'm just tired of looking at it, and you know, and
Tuesday just ended yesterday. So you know, going to, you know, I want to wrap it up here. You know, I guess, you know, looking ahead now, you've got a role to serve as athletic director. I'm very and you know, we talked a lot about everything you're prepping for the winter and everything like that, and your general thoughts. I'm very curious, though, as to what you feel about how the winter is going to go.
It's going to be tough. You know, we're going to have to take precautions. We keep, you know, like I say, the walls are closing in. But I trust in our administration, what we're doing, you know. And I, you know, I mean, we've been to school for, 10, 11 weeks now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had very few cases. I think they're doing a good job. I'm going to trust in what they've laid down for us, and I'm going to trust our kids that they're going to continue to do what they're supposed to do, because we've done that, you know, and that we're going to play as many games as we can. We're going to wrestle as many matches as we can, and we're going to go with this thing, you know, and we're playing, you know, I said this in football after week three, where, you know, we're playing with house money,
yeah.
You know, and I still think that's still true going into this. Mm-hmm. We're playing with house money. let's go as long as we can go by doing the things that we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. One last thing I want to mention, I'll be damned by the entire side of that aisle over at Labatt County if I don't mention it. How about the volleyball team over at Labatt County this past year?
You know, I'll tell you what, man.
For them to win a league title.
Yeah, I got them in weight class. I have almost all those girls, and, you know, it was great talking all season, you know, how they're doing, this and that. They were excited. They came together. I mean, and it's a young team. Coach Wilson, Coach Vollmer, they've all done a great job. I mean, you know, we got the best coach in the league, and, you know, I'm proud of everybody right now, and I'm proud of the team and the girls, and it's pretty cool because we got the banners ordered, and they're going to be put up this week for an SEK championship and a sub-state championship. So I couldn't be happier with how all that worked out. I mean, that's just a pride thing within our school, no matter who's winning. You know, cross-country, we had two runners go to state. You know, Josie Hayward in golf, you know, make state. So, it's cool. When somebody has success, we all have success.
Oh, and you know, obviously you're right. Don't want to forget those cross-country runners and Josie Hayward over there at golf. That volleyball run just had the backstretch that season. I think they ended on a 13-match win streak before they lost in that state tournament game. And I wrote it in my recaps. You know, everything that COVID has brought that has taken away from us, it manufactured some really cool opportunities. It manufactured a de facto SEK League Championship volleyball night, where the league was decided on one night between three schools, and all three of them were eligible to go win that title that night. Chanute needed a little help, but if they won and Indy won that night, Chanute would have won the title. Had Indy won both their matches, they would have won the title. Had Labatt County won it, they were going to be league champions, and nobody was sharing it. And Labatt County, you guys come back from down 21-16 in the third set to win it. Talk about an SEK. And then 3 days later, you host Substate. And you go to state. And then 3 days after that, you host the I'm not sure Labatt County High School facilities in Altamont, Kansas, has ever been host to a state tournament competition. And you guys got to have that in your school gym. And while, yes, it sucks that those kids didn't get the opportunity to go play pool play at state in Hutch or Salina or wherever 4A state is, they got something that nobody will ever get to experience ever again. And I think that is, you know, and I think Heather Wilson did a great job of just squeezing out every bit of joy that you were going to get out of that season.
Yeah, it was cool. You know, when we were locked in, you know, the pandemic, all that hit, you know, I had a football group on Google Meet. Well, they had a girls group also, volleyball and stuff. They invited me. I actually sit on their meeting sometimes. I miss the kids. I've said that, you know, and I'm a kids guy. So I listened to them just, you know, and it was cool because she was always very positive, you know, what they wanted to accomplish, you know, what their goals were, how's everybody doing, you know. I mean, she takes that all into perspective. And, you know, she did. She orchestrated a great season. But I've watched her do it since I've been there, you know, since she took over, you know, and her goals, what she wanted to do, and I think she's done a great job, and you know, she deserves all the credit for it.
Amen to that. Well, hey, we're gonna wrap this up, Coach Price. Thank you for coming on. You're welcome on the show anytime, man. You want to come on here and give me grief? You just say, hey, you know, meet me at KOKC on Sunday, Sean.
And, well, it's we'll an easy this. Job, so I mean, it's basically like shooting fish in a barrel, you know, picking on you. So you know, I do what I can do.
There we go. People wonder why, you know, if it ever seems like I'm biased towards Parsons over Labatt County, this guy is the reason.
Hey, we do. Seriously, I want to thank you for the one game you covered this year in football, too. That was special. Thanks.
Gosh. In his world, Labatt County should be the only school that exists.
Well, why wouldn't it be?
Well, that's going to do it for the War Room. We're going to end it there. Everybody, be kind. Stay safe. Wear the damn mask. That'll do it for the War Room.